There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
On a world where the Washington Monument dropped down 10 inches, you could say it was the tears of the first president. It literally melted. Although I hear it was lightning strikes. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We just got through a three-day weekend for many. It's the President's Day celebration. It is the number one day that people go and buy cars. I don't know why that phenomena sticks around, but apparently it does because I guess you're off. It's not Christmas. We've had a little time in between, and it's time to buy a new set of wheels. And speaking of wheels, here's some big wheels coming out of Texas. A federal judge in the Lone Star State, huge news with rippling repercussions, has halted, at least temporarily, President Obama's executive actions on immigration. The first applications were supposed to come in on Wednesday. What happened was the judge, Federal Judge Hannon, in a district in Brownsville, Texas, prohibited the Obama administration from carrying out programs the president announced back in November that would offer protection from deportation and work permits to as many as 5 million undocumented immigrants. As I said, the programs were, applications anyway, were supposed to start coming in on Wednesday, so that puts the brakes, at least for the moment, on that process. Remember, all these other people were also hired to go through the applications. I mean, hundreds of people were hired. They were throwing offices together. So now that all would be frozen. You can bet there are other things that are going to be filed on the opposite side of this. It's no secret that the judge is a big critic of the administration. They found a federal judge that, hey, was not on board with the immigration policy, and found that the states had satisfied the minimum legal requirements to bring the lawsuit, and that the administration had failed to comply with basic administrative procedures for putting such a sweeping program into effect. Hello, this is what I said. It was weeks ago, maybe a month ago, when we knew that nothing was in place. So from November through November, because this was in the beginning of November, December, January, oh yeah, funding up for the Department of Homeland Security at the end of February, nothing was put in play. Processes weren't happening. And they weren't even going to start happening, looking at applications, until this Wednesday. So that gave the judge one thing to hang his hat on, or gavel, that he could use and say, hey, you don't have anything set up here. How do you put this program into effect? And economically, this is going to hit these states hard. That was the other side of it. And that Texas and the other states involved in this say the executive measures were a case of government by fiat that would impose huge new costs on those budgets, just slam those budgets. So right now, work permits for undocumented workers, three-year deportation deferrals for people who have been here at least 5 years and have kids who are American citizens or legal residents, that's off the table. That's off the table. And this suit was filed back in the beginning of December. And this has all been played out in this case. And there were others that jumped in on this. I mean, who filed the lawsuit? You're asking yourself. We talked about it. There was enough firepower, I'll call it, from Washington, D.C., that made this thing work. And remember, Jay Johnson, who is Homeland Security Secretary, said instructing enforcement agents to concentrate on deporting the most dangerous criminals, including terrorists and gang members, as well as those caught crossing the border illegally, was the main thrust of this. So they kind of backtracked it, but it didn't work. Certainly, there is support for the executive action, but now you have a federal judge, a judge who was appointed by President George W. Bush, who has been very outspoken about the president, very outspoken, but had something to go on legally. Trust me, there's going to be other things that are going to be filed. The mayor of Brownsville, Tony Martinez, also filed a court paper supporting Obama's action, saying, you know, there's tremendous value in families staying together and being together. Eventually, we hope to get all these people out of the shadows. So for now, in the shadows, they remain. How long does this hold up? What happens next? There are other courts, and that's where this is going to end up. So three senators and 65 House members, all Republicans, signed a legal brief opposing the president that was filed by the American Center for Law and Justice, and this is what happened. If you have any reaction, trust me, we'll talk about it. We'll weave it in throughout this hour, 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. And I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, somewhere in between, dying for a third party, sick of politics altogether. You know you're always welcome here. 855-266-5283. Or flip me an email, americatonight.net. americatonight.net. Coming up, we're going to talk about hate crimes. We're going to talk about hate crimes with Tony Harris, who's got a special that's coming up on Monday as he delved into hate crimes of the past. The hate crime and proving hate crime is a tough thing. Sometimes falsely that gets thrown out, and sometimes when it should be thrown out, it should be used. It should be called a hate crime. It isn't. And what is the definition of that? And there are lawyers struggling to define it. And we know that in Ferguson, Missouri, that was what we discussed on this show. Was it, you know, was there hate involved in this? What happened there? Was it a cop that unfairly got slammed by the system and the whole Michael Brown thing? And then ultimately the craziness of the recanting of the stories of the witnesses. And then, of course, what happened in New York. But that's not the... Really, when we're talking about hate crimes, we're talking about what happened in, you know, with the Muslim students recently. What happened in the case of the Rutgers student who was harassed by a roommate and then ultimately killed himself jumping off the GW Bridge? And, you know, so where does the hate crime line fall is something that lawyers and courts are still grappling with. But Tony says that as a kid he saw what happened, and he covered so many of those stories over the years that he decided he was going to do a special on it. So Tony coming up, and also Jay Cost talking a little politics of the day, who's zooming who when it comes to some of these scandals, and how costly are the scandals to the American people. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Carrying on the conversation that we've been having here on America Tonight for a very long time, and as you know, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. in a couple of weeks for that Supreme Court argument over Obamacare, one of the tenets, anyway, of Obamacare. It's interesting because, you know, politics that wash out of Washington have really annoyed all of you in this listening audience, no matter what your ideology. But this is something that we really drilled down a lot on America Tonight. So very excited to have Jay Kast on with us. He is the author of A Republican No More, Big Government, and the Rise of American Political Corruption. I love that title. Jay, thanks for hopping on the air with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So first of all, let's dive into the title, A Republican No More. Tell me about that.
Right. Well, you know, the book is a history of political corruption. And, you know, that was what I had been planning to write. I did not intend to title it A Republic No More when I started. But, you know, I had just been researching and spent so long looking at the problems of political corruption and seeing how far the country had fallen from the ideals of the founding that I finally asked myself, you know, who am I kidding? This is not, whatever you want to call this government, it is not what it once was. And so that's where I got the title.
I love it. So, you know, talking about the election, let's just take it from there. What's your take on what I keep calling the Republican beauty pageant, meaning there's so many people that are throwing in on this, and there's such a desire to have something new and different and fresh and really pumping the ideals out there. But you've got Jeb Bush that wants to be a part of this, a serious part of this, and he's got some big money people interested in him. But in one way, he has the legacy of the Bush family. And that hurts and helps, I guess, in one sense. But are people tired of the Bushes, even if they love both of them or love one of them more than the other or whatever? Do you think? Do you give Jeb Bush much of a chance to be the different guy?
Well, you know, look, I would take Jeb Bush very seriously. I think that there is a class of Republicans that likes him. And I think it's a very important class. I think the donor class of Republicans, the consultant class of Republicans, I think are very partial to Jeb. I don't see a lot of enthusiasm for him in the grassroots. I don't see him doing what his brother was able to do 15 years ago this year, which was really unite the big money people with the grassroots people. You know, George W. Bush, for instance, won the Iowa caucuses. I don't see any chance Jeb will do that. But, you know, we'll see. It's still really early to say. You know, back in 1996, everybody at this point in the cycle was talking about Phil Graham because he was raising more money than anybody else did. And, you know, money and votes are not the same thing. You know, you have to have a good message. You have to be good on the stump. You have to persuade people. Money can help you do that, but it's not the end in itself.
So if you were kind of handicapping this, what kind of a shot? Lately, they've been taking shots at Scott Walker for leaving Marquette and trying to figure out what happened and all that nonsense. But how much of a chance do you give Walker, Jeb Bush? I mean, Chris Christie loves the idea of being president, but I think he's further down the list than some people think. Who do you give the best shots to?
I don't really have a good opinion of Christie's chances. I don't think they're substantial at all. I think Scott Walker is potentially a winner because I think he sort of can unite a critical mass of Republicans. You know, I think that donors will like him. I mean, he's a proven winner in a swing state. He's governed successfully for 6 years now. So I think that he could, you know, make them comfortable as they get to know him. But by the same token, you know, he took on the unions in Wisconsin for the sake of, you know, strong, you know, accounting, you know, keeping the government's books honest. So I think that's going to help him with the grassroots. So a guy like Walker, I think, could be very formidable. You know, other candidates that are like, they all tend to fit in that middle kind of area where I could see everybody coming together on them. So Walker, I wouldn't discount Marco Rubio. Immigration really hurt him, but he has such substantial political talents that are just God-given that I don't think you can count him out if he decides to run. I have a similar impression of Rick Perry, which I think might surprise a lot of people in your audience because Perry had really kind of embarrassed himself in 2012. But, you know, if you look at what he's been doing, he's been really doing his homework and laying the groundwork. And, you know, he's the longest serving governor of the second most populous state in the union, which has been a rare economic success story in the last decade. I mean, you know, it's hard to just write him off. So he's another one. Mike Pence, if he were to run, I think could be substantial. Those are sort of the guys kind of – I'm a big fan of governors at this point. I think a governor would do the party well. A governor from – if I had to be more specific, a governor from a state in the middle of the country I think is probably a good idea. And I say that as somebody who lives in western Pennsylvania, so I'm sort of partial to people like that. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from.
So when we see how fast news moves, like we live in the 140-character world, I call it, because so much news breaks, political news, et cetera, on Twitter, and it just moves like lightning, that really, I think, shapes the perceptions of some people. I mean, once something gets out there, it's like a headline, nothing backing it up, that's it. And all of a sudden, you're on the defense, like talking about the Walker stuff. Do you think that this shapes politics now, that this is part of the problem when you're running?
Oh, I think it absolutely does. And I mean, look, I think Rick Perry learned that the hard way in 2012. You know, I think he thought he could swing in late and that, you know, he felt like the conservatives didn't like the field and that he could swoop in and you know, take control of the nomination. But he had a couple bad at TV debates and really just a handful of bad moments, and it kind of ruined him. And, you know, I think Fred Thompson had a similar experience in 2008 as well. You know, he had a similar attitude. Oh, conservatives don't really like this field. I'm gonna come in late. I'm gonna sweep everything up before anybody can blink. But you know, that's the problem in a soundbite culture. If you don't have a good soundbite ready, or even worse, if you have a bad soundbite, can be deadly. I mean, it's just a really dangerous I mean, and look, politics didn't used to work that way, you know. I mean, you know, the main medium of information, of political information up until about the 1950s was newspaper. So it was a very different culture for most of our political history.
Yeah. When you look at this, when you look at the race, you know, the Democrats, we automatically assume it's going to be Hillary Clinton unless something unforeseen happens that we don't know, or she decides not to run, which I would find hard to believe. So if it's Hillary Clinton, what Republican do you, what do the Republicans need to do to beat Hillary Clinton? Because some people will embrace Hillary Clinton and there'll be some enthusiasm for that. And then, of course, you have the push-pull for the independents.
Right.
So what chances do you give the Republicans there? What do you think they need to do to wage a good battle?
Well, I think, you know, the really smart thing for any Republican to do is to read my new book. No, but I'd be kidding. Okay, so that was a facetious part. I was partially kidding there. But, you know, the book is about corruption. And,
right.
You know, the book talks about how government really is engaged in double dealing. There are conflicts of interest everywhere through the government. And I think I call that corruption. You know, if you're on the take from an interest group for campaign contributions, or you expect to get a job with them after you leave office and you write them a favorable piece of legislation, I mean, that's a conflict of interest. And it's pervasive, as I argue in my new book. It's pervasive. And I think that people are aware of that. And what I would really like to see is for the Republican nominee to run against not just Washington in general, but the Washington that plays favorites, the Washington that systematically tilts public policy towards well-connected, well-funded special interest groups. And I think that the Clintons would be a perfect target for that kind of campaign, because if you look at the way the Clintons have behaved, especially since they've left office, I mean, they have taken the concept of the revolving door to heights never before seen in the history of the country, and that is really saying something. You know, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton are friends with every heavy hitter on Wall Street, and they have been thoroughly plied with charitable donations to their charity organization, and you know, time and time again, they have just been treated like, not just like celebrities, but they have been courted with the full expectation on behalf of special interest groups, knowing that these two were going to try to get back into office, so we better be nice to them now. They are vulnerable on the issue of special interest politics, and I would love to see the Republican Party charge straight at them, especially on issues like Wall Street reform. I would love to see a Republican come out and say, you know what we need to do is we need to break up these big banks, and we need to say too big to fail is over. And watch Hillary's reaction. She will have no idea what to do.
On that note, perfect. Jay Koss, the author of A Republic No More, Big Government and the Rise of American Political Corruption. Pick it up at Amazon. Jay, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
The Freeze Dry Guy presents Freeze Dried Turkey, Freeze Dried Ham, and the No Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze Dry Guy's No Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The show, a face that you probably know, Tony Harris. Remember CNN? Tony Harris, now current anchor on Al Jazeera America. He's an Emmy-winning broadcast journalist, and we're going to talk to him about his special. It's called Hate in America, and talk about hate crimes. And certainly, we've seen that. We've discussed that a lot here on ATN, no doubt about it. Tony, thanks for popping on with us.
No, it's a pleasure. I didn't know that. So this is a topic that you discuss fairly regularly?
Yes, well, look at all the things that have happened. If we roll back just even to the summertime, what happened in Ferguson, Missouri, what happened in New York. I mean, and even before that, we could go even deeper than that, as you know. So this is something that you've covered for a long time. I mean, you've reported on a lot of what we would call hate-fueled, violent, crazy acts for, you know, probably three decades. So you are well-versed, an expert in this, and trying to pull that all together for a special, in one way, I bet, had to be hard because you have to pare things down. Do you remember the first time that you covered something where you thought, wow, this is just pure hate? That's what this is.
You know, I was thinking back on when I was a kid, and I was living in Baltimore, and it was before I was a reporter, obviously, and in this business even, and I was working in a town called Westminster, Maryland, and I was in catering. I was in the catering business. It's a big, anyone who's listening in Maryland will know there's a big catering house called Martin's West. And I worked for the company in Westminster, Maryland, which was, maybe it was a city of, I don't know how many people, but
maybe about 50 black people in the city at the time, and I was working for this catering house, and I can remember that it was, folks used to warn me at the time to get out of the city. I lived about 40 minutes down the road south of Westminster. But folks used to, we would finish up pretty late, you know, it was an evening catering business. We would host parties and weddings and that sort of thing. And folks would tell me to get out of the city as soon as you can and get on the road and get back down to Reisterstown where we were living, just because it was one of those areas, it was one of those sundown towns, right? Where you didn't want to be caught after sundown, right? And certainly not after 10, 11, or midnight, which is when a lot of our parties ended. So I can remember being spooked by that when I was a kid and being, you know, frightened by it and having to get out of town and not really sort of fully understanding what it was all about, but, you know, coming to realize it as you grow older that, you know, these were expressions of hate, that the Klan was in that territory. And, yeah, Tony, you need to get your skinny butt out of town.
Wow. So realizing that is... Yeah, so realizing it as a kid and then becoming the reporter and reporting on things that happened. For your special, what were some of the stories that you covered?
Well, this is a really disturbing special, but I'm really glad we did it, and I hope, and I know we will, but you just keep your fingers crossed that you get an opportunity to do more of these. So for Hate in America, we revisited three pretty heinous crimes. And you may remember in June of 2011, James Craig Anderson in Jackson, Mississippi was beaten very badly and then run over by a group of white kids. Daryl Dedman was the lead driver in the car that ran him over. Dedman was behind the wheel, and after beating up James Craig Anderson with a couple of his buddies, Anderson is on the ground. He gets up. He's stumbling. And Daryl Dedman just floors it and runs him over in his F-150 pickup truck. So you can imagine how horrible that was.
Mm.
And so that's one of the cases that we revisit. And there was a sentencing, I think, if I'm not incorrect, it was about a week ago for Dedman and two others in connection with that case. And there is the U.S. District Judge who held that sentencing hearing. His name is Carl Reeves. And if anyone is really interested in what is a very powerful statement on hate in this country and the history of it in a state like Mississippi, wow, this statement from the bench, it's just stunning. It is literally just stunning. You can find it online. So that's one of the cases that we revisit, and we talked to James Craig Anderson's life partner at the time, James Bradfield. Significant that James Bradfield hadn't been able to talk about the case, hadn't been able to talk about his feelings connected to the loss of his partner. So really for one of the first times ever, he spoke to us about the case, and it's really, really moving, and it's heartbreaking. So we revisit that case. Then we go to Oak Creek, Wisconsin, and you remember in 2012, there was a mass shooting at a Sikh temple there in Oak Creek, in which six were killed, and it was done by a white power skinhead, and so we revisit that case. And what's amazing there, the links the Sikh community has gone to link itself up more closely with the community to, you know, become more of a member of that community in the aftermath of that horrible occurrence, where they realized that they had not done enough to become a part of that community, and they set out to do that in an astonishing way. Serve to Unite is the organization that came out of that horrible mass shooting, and that's a wonderful story to revisit, and it's really a story of a group empowering itself in the face of tragedy and turning something that was really tragic into something that is more positive. So that's the second case in that hour. And then there was It was May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, just the year 2013. A gay couple was beaten in front of Madison Square Garden, of all places, was beaten in front of the garden by some folks leaving a basketball game. And it was horrible for that couple, obviously. But what we learned as a result of that case is that, you know, attacks on members of that community, LGBT community, are underreported, but that is the most highly targeted group in the country these days. So it was a chance for us to do some learning on that particular case. So three stunning cases. Amazing how members of these individual communities have tried to take horrible instances, horrible facts, horrible stories, and turn it into something positive. That's the thing I'll take away from the hour, is just how these people who were so impacted by horrible events, crimes, you know, motivated by hate, just motivated by hate, have found the strength to turn it into something more positive.
Do you think that we're going to see more hate crimes prosecuted?
I do. Yeah. I think you're going to see more reported. I think you're going to see more prosecuted. You know, there's a discussion going on right now, an investigation going on right now into the murders of the three Muslim students in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And there's a discussion as to whether or not that will be prosecuted as a hate crime. The thing to know is, while I think there will be more prosecutions in this country of hate crimes, there are something in the order of 920, 930 active hate groups in the United States right now. So I think that there will be more prosecutions of these cases because the reporting will get better, and the investigations will become more thorough. So in North Carolina case, there is an investigation that's underway right now, and the threshold is high here. You know, you've got to be able to make a case. Prosecutors have to be able to make a case, and there has to be some demonstrated animus in these cases. But I think that there will be, to answer your question, I think there will be more hate crime prosecution.
Yeah, so does that mean you think that there's some progress being made, or it's still pretty low? Yeah,
I think so. I think so. Look, you know, the Matthew Stepford case, remember that? The James Byrd case, we remember that? And that becomes a catalyst for the hate crimes legislation that was passed in 2009. It took a long time for that to happen. But I think there is a recognition in this country that, you know, there is crime that is solely motivated by racial hate, by sexual orientation hate, by religious hate, and that those crimes deserve a special category and deserve special and extra level of punishment.
Yeah. Well, if everybody wants to, everybody listen.
You're essentially talking about people who are being victimized for no other reason
than that,
because of their sexual orientation, because of their race, or because of their religion. So a special category, I think, probably applies here.
Yeah. Do you so when you're obviously in doing this, what was the biggest takeaway that you had of everything that you saw and all the people that you talked to?
I think the capacity of people to not forget, you can't do that, but I think the willingness of people to try to forgive, I think the willingness of people who have been victimized like this to tell their story, to try to use it as a teaching tool to get out and tell the story with hope that it will start to curb somebody's feelings, and that people can learn from their experience and you know, how insidious a thing like hate is, and that it limits all of our possibilities and capabilities. It really does. You know, hate is one of those factors that keeps us from fully realizing our potential as a country. You know, you're talking about bias, you're talking about prejudice, you're talking about hate as the full expression of that, and hate taken to the nth degree of becoming violent, right? So it's one of those things that limits our ability. It limits our humanity, right? And it limits then our ability to, I think, to achieve the real greatness that this nation has right in front of it.
Wow, well said. Where can we catch the special?
Oh, it's on 8 o'clock on Monday the 23rd, 8 o'clock on Discovery ID. I'm just so pleased to have been a part of it. I'm so pleased to have been asked to do it. And I'm so pleased with the team that worked on it. They've done an amazing job. And these stories, I can't imagine you not being impacted by it. Anybody who gets an opportunity to watch it, DVR it, whatever you need to do. I know that there are going to be some viewing parties of it around the country. I certainly encourage that. I'm happy to hear that. You know, the folks at Discovery ID have done a tremendous job of getting the word out through social media. We had an amazing screening last week. Carrie Kennedy was there, Morris Steve, Kenneth Jacobson from the Anti-Defamation League. Just a tremendous outing at the Paley Center here in New York, and I hope people get an opportunity to watch it, record it, watch it later. And then let's keep the conversation going. On your show, right, and others, right?
Absolutely. Keep the conversation going. Absolutely. Tony Harris, thanks so much for coming on. And congratulations on putting this together.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
All right, we've jumped off the curb and we're racing around in the street for the final couple of minutes of this hour of America tonight. A big story, of course, is what happened late Monday in the state of Texas, a federal judge halting the president's executive orders that would stop the deportations of close to 5 million illegal immigrants. So temporarily blocking that immigration action. We'll see what's filed on the other side. This is a giant story, of course. And the conversation about the Department of Homeland Security and whether or not it's going to be shut down. John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, was on Chris Wallace's show on Fox, and they went round and round about a couple of things. And here's a little snippet on his thoughts about immigration and DHS.
Well, then Senate Democrats should be to blame. Very simple.
And you're prepared to let that happen?
Certainly. The House is active. We've done our job.
So you heard him. We've done our job. It's up to the Senate. Now, this federal judge has jumped into this. And, of course, this lawsuit was filed back in December. And there are pushes on the other side. And there will be other federal judges. So this is going to get really messy. Not that we didn't know it. It's been this way for some time. Without a doubt, because we've been talking about immigration for how many decades? And now it's heated up because of the president's executive action. And does that hold up or does it close down? One of the things they talked about, or this federal judge talked about, is that nothing was in place to process what had to be processed. The first applications were supposed to come in on Wednesday. Hundreds of people were just barely hired, and they're still in the middle of that to process the people. So there is some discombobulation, without a doubt, over the process of dealing with these people and proving if they had family there and young kids or kids, period, that were American. So it's this is only the beginning of this. I mean, this legally will get much, much nastier. All right, so the weather is the thing. It's the common denominator that maybe we're sick of talking about. Because every year we get cold temperatures. Every year we get tons of snow. But this is a particularly cruel heat here. And it's just segmented. The worst spot has to be Boston. It does. It has to be Boston. But there's freezing temperatures all over the place. Single digits. Feeling even worse than that. I mean, you've got basically ice. It's like we live in frozen tundra in some areas of the South, in the Northeast, in the Midwest, in Tennessee, in Nashville. They've got some terrible weather there. In Alabama, ice, snow, freezing temperatures. They say Monday was cold, but Thursday will be the coldest days in Alabama with lows between 8 and 12 degrees. 8 and 12 degrees. Single digits aren't always good. In sports, they can be good, but not when it comes to the weather. Even Governor Pat McCrory says he hopes North Carolina is overprepared and underwhelmed because they don't want to be stuck. It's been almost a year since that winter storm, if we remember, dumped 22 inches of snow in North Carolina and just killed the state with ice. And remember people who got out because they couldn't go anywhere? They got out of their cars and just started walking. They were like in high heels and coats, and they, some women, and they just start walking. Well, wherever I have to go, because I got to get out of this car. And in West Virginia, they had a snowstorm, but a train carrying crude oil derailed about 30 miles outside of Charleston. Boy, it was nasty. The tanker just, boom, just went off like a shot. And a nearby house caught fire, but it looks like nobody was hurt in that. But when you actually looked at the video of it, it was frightening the way that thing popped open. So if we look at freezing temperatures, it's forced the cancellation of hundreds of flights, 1,700 plus. They think Tuesday is going to be pretty nasty too. I mean, the Arctic cold's not great for that. You know, with the wings, you have to de-ice the wings and all that sort of stuff. And here's your big giant record for you. New York City came close to breaking a 127-year-old record. The temperature in Central Park hit 3 degrees just above the 1 degree temperature that was set in 1888. You have to go back that far. 1888. And I bring this up because so many of you sent me emails about the temperatures, about the ice, about the snow, about what did I think it was. Let me look in my crystal ball, my weather crystal ball, and tell you why I think it is. I think it's winter, and we get harsh weather, and it seems like it varies. Maybe the Midwest gets hit a little bit hard. This time, it seems to be the East Coast, parts of the East Coast, and you get the right temperatures, the right mix of air, and you see what happens. It's ripe for these crazy amounts of snowfalls. I mean, there's some people, listen, if I ran a ski resort, if I was somebody who ran a plow company, I would be merry, merry still. because they're doing well. Skiing has exploded at Jack Frost, at Hunter. There are a lot of places up and down Sugar Mountain, up and down the Killington, up and down the East Coast. Because of the snow, they're not relying on man-made snow, because believe me, there's been winters where people want to snow, and so they've got to do the man-made snow thing because it's too warm. It's too warm and they're not getting enough snow. That's not the problem here, so it's just booming. Business is booming. I'll risk it if I had to go up to the mountain, but otherwise I hate it. That's what people are saying. I don't want to dig out, but I certainly want to dig in and jump on my skis. Absolutely. If you're asking me to do that, absolutely, I will do it. I will do it. As I said, the big story is this judge temporarily blocking the Obama immigration action. And interestingly enough, it happens when Wednesday is supposed to be the day where the applications turn in. Everybody's out of Washington because it's a week off. And when they come back, this is one of the things they'll be dealing with for sure. Then there is global jihad that people have been talking about since the 21 laborers, guys with no money trying to make money for their family, get kidnapped by ISIS, are led one by one to a beach where they are beheaded. 21 Christians. Awful. Coptic Christians from Egypt. So the question becomes, is this a different kind of World War III? Are we facing that? I mean, this is a terror war. And how close is that terror war to the United States? One of the things that I thought was the most chilling, revealing thing that ISIS said in their rambling video was that they were going to conquer Rome. And they're not that far away from Rome. You look at Pakistan, you look at Afghanistan, you look at Iraq, you look at Syria, and some of the territory that they have, ISIS, has been able to scoop up. Now, you're looking at Rome, home, Vatican, right there, of the Holy Father, of the Pope, and how close will they get? How close will they get to some of those major sites, Christian high points, if you will? The art treasures, the things that are there in Rome, will that really happen? Are the Italians ready for that? And how brazen would it be because of the amounts of people that you're talking about in Rome? It would be huge. It'd be shocking. So hopefully not. But at least they get fair warning, I suppose. Any thoughts on the show? You know you can always send them to me. AmericaTonight.net. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials, commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.